Good evening. My goodness me, it's wonderful to see so many of you here in the church this evening. Welcome to you all, and welcome to those who are visitors, not only from other parts of Scotland, but from other parts of the world. It's good to have you with us. We also welcome those who are joining us through the live stream. How good it is to have you with us as well on this most holy night. Now, I better introduce this minister here who's next to me, because many of you might be wondering who he is. This is the Reverend Jake Lehman, who is from the United States of America. And Jake has been working with me here in the old parish since the beginning of September, and he'll be here for a number of months yet, and we're greatly enjoying having Jake and his family with us. Writing some 800 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah declared, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 301. Hark the herald angels sing, hymn 301.
Thank you.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Let us pray. God of all the years, the waiting is almost over, and here in the stillness of this late hour, we prepare to celebrate once more your coming to our world in Jesus Christ. We praise you for the wonder of this holy night, for the news of great joy delivered to humble shepherds, and for the star that led the wise men to Bethlehem, bearing their gifts for prophet, for priest, and for king. Lord God, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. We acknowledge that in all the busyness of these past days and weeks, we have failed to make proper time for you. And remembering how there was no room at the inn for the Holy Family, we confess our failure to welcome the Christ, who often comes in the stranger's guise. God of all the years, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us tonight. Gracious God, as we hear once more the glad tidings of your coming, make real to us the joy and peace of the first Christmas, and let us respond by praising you for the one born for our salvation, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name, we offer this our prayer. Amen. Our first reading comes to us this evening from the Gospel of St. Matthew, Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. Hear the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. And now let us travel in our minds back to that first Christmas in Bethlehem. We sing the hymn 304, hymn 304, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie."
And now we hear from Luke's Holy Gospel, his account of the visit of the shepherds. Luke writes, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." This is the word of God and the word of life. Thanks be to God. And we respond to God's holy word through singing the hymn 309, "Still the Night, Holy the Night," hymn 309.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So many years ago, my wife and I attended a production of the play A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. We were living in the state of Texas at the time in the U.S., and the play was put on by a small community theater, and a friend of ours happened to work at the theater as the creative director or artistic director, something like that. So he offered us tickets to this play, and of course, as newlyweds without a lot of money to speak of, we were very happy to have an excuse for a night out. So we went to the play, and to be honest, I don't really recall that much of the play. The cast did a fine job, and it was a very, very good production, but it was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, as you might say. So most of my memories of the play have become pretty fuzzy over time. But there is one image from that play that all those years ago has continued to stick with me. And that is the image of Jacob Marley at the end of his visit with Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, of course, you probably all know the story. Scrooge is visited by the three ghosts, the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. But before those visitations, Scrooge is haunted by the ghost of his old business partner, Jacob Marley, who is weighed down by the chains that he forged in life, right? The chains that he forged through his greed and through his unkindness. And Marley presents Scrooge with both a warning and an opportunity. He warns Scrooge that he will be visited by these three ghosts, and he tells them that in these ghosts he has the opportunity to change his life and avoid the same sorry fate to which Marley himself is chained in death. Which brings us to the image that is forever burned in my mind from this stage production so long ago. It was just a small community-run theater, but Jacob Marley, the actor, was gruesomely depicted on stage. He was lit with dark green lighting and covered in chains and old tattered clothing. His makeup was done in such a way that made him look as if he had just crawled right out of the grave onto the stage. And after he played his part and had given Scrooge his word of warning, dense fog began to fill the stage, and then Marley was slowly lifted off the ground and slowly moved off the stage. And throughout this entire dramatic and very slow exit, Jacob Marley shouted one word, first at Scrooge, not pointing at you, Gary, first at Scrooge, and then toward the audience. And the word he shouted as though his life depended on it. He shouted, "Remember, remember, remember." You can see it made quite an impression on me. I'm still a bit haunted by this image. But on this Christmas Eve night, I think it's a word that is worth holding on to. Remember, remember. And after all, that is one of the key reasons that we are all here tonight. In a way, we gather in this place and we gather in this moment to remember. And to be fair, it's a fairly strange and remarkable thing that we do. You know, along with people all around the world, we leave our homes in the middle of the night. Most of us would be asleep by now. We leave in the middle of the night during the darkest and busiest time of the year to gather with friends and complete strangers in this quiet space, and we do it all to remember. And we do all of this, I think, because we know the power of memory. In our lives, the way in which we remember the people and events of our past often shapes who we are in the present, and it shapes who we hope to be in the future. In our society, the ways that we collectively remember the events of the past shape how we behave and who we are as a people. So tonight, we come out into the dark of night in order to remember a moment in the past that reshapes our present and a moment in the past that redefines our future. We gather around this familiar scene of a baby in a manger surrounded by his mother and father and shepherds and wise men, flanked by beasts of the field. And we do it so that we might remember. We sing the familiar hymns and we sing the carols and we read the stories that we've heard year after year from the Gospels, and we do it so that we might remember. And in doing this and coming together in order to remember, it's really a beautiful thing because it's part of a long and wonderful tradition. And not just in terms of gathering in the same way that faithful and hopeful people of all kinds have gathered for thousands of years, but it's also wonderful in this long tradition in terms of how God has chosen to draw us to himself throughout Scripture and throughout all of history. You know, depending on how you translate the word remember appears somewhere between 200 and 1,200 times in Scripture. And many of those appearances are used as commands from God to his people, commands to remember. In the days of the Old Testament, when Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, God spoke to them, telling them to remember the long way that the Lord had led them. He spoke to them, telling them to remember the commands that he had given them. He spoke to them, telling them to remember that they were slaves in Egypt, so that they might remember to welcome and care for foreigners and strangers in their midst, as well as orphans and widows. And then turning the page to the New Testament, at the Last Supper, as Jesus broke bread and poured the wine, he commanded his disciples, saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." In his final words from Matthew's Gospel, he tells his followers, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then to go beyond these explicit uses of the word, we see the power of memory all throughout Scripture, and especially tonight, as we remember and we hear that story of Christ's birth. Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel, who tells her that she has been chosen to bear the Son of God. And she remembers that promise as she prepares for his birth. And then she's visited by shepherds who make known to her what they'd been told by this host of angels. And the Scripture tells us she treasures all their words and ponders them in her heart. She remembers those words as she begins the task of raising this special child. Then Joseph as well is visited by an angel in a dream who tells him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for she will bear a son, and he is to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. And when he awakes from his dream, he remembers, and he does what the angel had told him to do. So memory is a powerful thing. And so tonight, we gather in this space to remember. And what we are here to remember is that wonderful promise that was spoken to Joseph so long ago as the angel told him, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us. You know, that is the simple and profound truth at the center of all that we do and all that we are. God is with us. It's at the center of all that we celebrate tonight and all that we will do tomorrow and all that we have experienced throughout this season and throughout this year. God is with us. So remember. And remember on our darkest of nights and on our brightest of days, God is with us. Remember. In the gatherings of our families and friends, or in our loneliest of moments, God is with us. Remember. In the peace and in the calm of this silent night, and in the chaos of our lives and in the chaos of the world, God is with us. Remember. You know, it is my hope and prayer, and Gary's as well, that this season is one that is full of joy and peace for you and all those whom you love. But more than that, it is our hope and prayer for each of us that no matter what life has been like, or what life has been like in the past, or what life will be like in the future, or what life is like in the present, that we might each heed the advice of the ghost of Jacob Marley. No matter what life is like, we will remember. We will remember that the God who comes to us on Christmas is with us now and will be with us always. For as the angels proclaimed long ago, we remember those words, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And we remember. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And now, as the clock has turned to midnight, allow me the privilege of being the first to wish you all a very, very happy Christmas. So may we take a moment to share a warm Christmas greeting with one another.
Well, Merry Christmas to you all, and it's just lovely to see you, and I've just met some visitors here from the Netherlands, so a very special welcome to you, and a very Merry Christmas. I thought I would give myself a wee Christmas gift this year by asking Jake to preach the sermon, one thing less for me to do, and what a fine sermon it was, and to show that I was listening, it's one that we will remember. Now, what are we doing next? Yes, we've got a hymn and then the final prayer. So, "See in Yonder Manger Low," hymn 313. Let's give this our best shot. 313. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Light of the world, we welcome you, the one promised from eternal years, and the one who came from the realms of glory down to such a world as this. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. God of love, we thank you for Christ, the newborn King, and with your people the world over, and all the company of heaven, we join in the angels' hymn of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favour rests. Lord Jesus, you were laid in a humble manger because there was no room for you in the inn. At this Christmas time, we pray for the poor and the persecuted, for the homeless and the helpless. And we remember those who are sick in hospital, hospice, or at home. And we think of all who remember loved ones who are no longer with them. Merciful God, may the true spirit of Christmas touch the hearts of all people and be a comfort and joy. God of all, whose name is love, whose presence is light, whose gift is grace, we pray this Christmas for our troubled world. Grant wisdom to the leaders of the nations, and prosper those who seek peace and goodwill, that all conflict will cease, harmony prevail, and hope be born again. God of all the years, as we rejoice in the good news of our Saviour's birth, bless our families and friends and all who are dear to us. Unite the hearts of all people the world over in love, and keep us close to you and to the one born a child and yet a king. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And together as the one people, we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you leave the church, there'll be an opportunity to contribute to a collection for Plus Forth Valley. Plus is a registered charity based in Stirling that provides social, leisure and recreational opportunities for children and young adults with disabilities across Forth Valley. Whatever you are able to give will be gratefully received. Thank you. Once again to you all, a Merry Christmas, and a Merry Christmas to all who are watching us online. No service like this would be complete without our final hymn, that great hymn, hymn 306. Let's sing well, for Christ is born and Christ is King. O come, all ye faithful. May the obedience of Mary and Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.